On this week's episode of I-45 Confidential, the generation, it's a generation that doesn't care for their parents and vice versa.
I'll be like, Brooklyn, how was school today? He'll say, well, what did you hear?
And I said, if you don't hurry up, you know, I'll leave you. And she said, no, we're not.
Parents taught us stuff that stuck with us. Are we teaching our kids enough for them to stick with them?
My oldest, I would cry all the time. I was thinking about all the things that he did not know.
You are about to witness a conversation, a confidential conversation, between lifelong friends. For more than three decades, they've laughed, cried, yelled, danced, traveled, and learned together. They are experts in nothing but experienced in life. Welcome to the conversation, and welcome to I-45 Confidential. And salutations, y'all, and welcome to another I-45 Confidential podcast. I am Kim. I am the social butterfly of the friend group. Every friend group has one. These good people are lucky to have me. They're blessed. I'm joined today with my roomie.
Hey, it's Authentically Elise here. I am Rocksteady and I'm ready. Let's go.
We are also joined by the beautiful Roy Shell.
Thank you. My middle name is Anger Management and I appreciate you guys putting up with me.
And rounding out our core four, we have Miss Myretta Lynn.
I am a unicorn. I had a baby at 40.
You sure did not.
That's it.
Today, we'd like to introduce our guest, Mr. Mac Frank. We are certainly glad to have him. We haven't seen him in 30 plus years.
Yes. Too long. Too
welcome.
Long.
Welcome
thank
to
you, thank you for having me. Good to see everyone.
Good to see
we
you.
We certainly appreciate you taking the day out to join us as we talk about, are you your children's friend? Baby, I'm not your little friend. I told Callie last night. Oh, she was saying, I'm sorry. I called and I was crying and I apologized. And I'm like, it's okay. I'm not one of your little friends, but I'm your momfident. She was like, yes, you are, mama. You are. You are.
You know how we had this conversation last night about how you don't think your children are your friend, like blah, blah, blah. And a lot of people feel that way. I don't necessarily because one of my kids is like one of my best friends because we talk all the time. But I understand people's feelings about that as well. Like, I'm never going to be your friend because I'm coming from, that's what you said, Shelly. So Kim and I were talking last time, like, there's got to be something in between. So we came up with this momfident to momfident. But we came up with something else, too. I can't remember the other one.
I don't know. I just know I'm a momfident.
Momfident.
I'm a momfident.
Okay, and I'll be a momfident. We can have both.
We have both, yeah. And whatever. But I never want her to feel like, I don't even want the boy to feel like, I don't ever want them to feel like, how I felt growing up, that I couldn't go talk to my mom like you and the boys. Mm-hmm. They can't come and talk to me. And like you were saying last night, sometimes the stuff that they say is very cringe.
Very.
A lot of the stuff that mine say is extremely cringy. But I listen because I want them to feel confident knowing that I'm not going to judge them. I'm not going to scream, holler, whatever. I'm just going to listen and give my honest opinion.
Or not give an opinion.
Sometimes they don't want an opinion.
As their mother. That's the reason why I can't say I can't be my child's friend. Mm-hmm. My child comes to me and we have a very open relationship, but I just need her to know that there are certain boundaries because I can't, if I feel like she's going to be hurt, I know that I have to step in. I can't be a friend who says, you know, I'm going to step back. I just can't. I'm her mama.
You know what, right. Shell, but you're going to have to learn to step back sometimes.
I know I have to learn how, but doesn't mean that I don't feel a certain way about it.
No, you can feel that way. We all feel a way, but you can't always say, you should not always express it. You should not, because they have to be able to dig themselves out of it. They got to be able to figure it out for themselves.
I'm having a problem with her right now where...
Doesn't mean you can't tell the story.
Yeah. So she was at work and she's at school and she's not really focusing on school. She's at home. She's, you know, 20. It's okay. You can quit your job, honey, and focus on school. She quit her job. She's not focusing on school. She's not, you know, because now she has too much time on her hands. So I called her father. Thank God we have a pretty good relationship when it comes to parenting our child. And he says, let her fail. I said, I'm her mother. I can't let her fail. He says, you got to let her fail. This is her responsibility. She has to understand there's consequences and that's her failure. You can't, it's life. You can't. And it was just a really, and so he did come to my rescue and tried his best to kind of talk to her about what was going on instead of just letting it go. Because he knew that how I felt about it.
And he's right, though. He's right. You have to. I literally this morning had that conversation with Callie and she was saying, I think the problem with Kobe sometimes is y'all didn't
let him fail. He had a very cushy, soft life. And now things that he should have learned when he was younger, he's now learning as an adult because y'all didn't let him just be. And he's having a hard time with, because she wants him to take a, she wants him to take the certification, which he needs to go take the certification for IT. And so he was saying, like, what if I fail? I don't think he'll fail because he's really bright. But that's what she was saying. Like, y'all never let him fail. Like, he didn't fail. He doesn't know how to fail.
You know, when my daughter was sitting in front of me and I was asking about her grades, I don't ask about it. I've let her do it. And she was so uncomfortable. And I looked at her and I realized something. My daughter's never been in discomfort. It's discomfort. When she doesn't want to do something, she's uncomfortable. Her life has been nothing but comfort.
And it's hard for them to be uncomfortable.
They cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Like, for real. They think they're entitled. Mm-hmm. They think that they cannot be touched.
Why? Why are we the way we are?
Society.
Because of our parent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he knows.
The reason why our kids are like, because we give them so many things. They have access to so many things. We've allowed them to do. We are the way we are because of our parents, and they are the way they are because of the parents that they have. We have given our children way too much.
No, I agree with, I don't disagree with you. Because we've had access to more mm-hmm. than our parents did. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And that's generational, too. That's generational.
You know better, so you're going to do better.
Yeah.
That's the thinking. That's the mindset.
But some
breaking
people,
a generational curse or whatever it is, my kid coming to me or whatever. And you just said about these kids feel entitled and we have to treat them. You're treating them a certain way. I do not envy you guys that are raising children in this day and age. Because I'm not a gentle parent.
And
I'm
it's
not
so hard. It's
I'm
so
not.
Hard.
And I'm not going to gentle parent to you. You're going to figure it out. If you can't figure it out, you're going to catch his hands. Not like that.
No, but see, that's how
we're going to have
though.
A real conversation.
The laying of my hands.
We're going to have a real conversation. And if I break my nail with this real conversation and this belt, it's going to be a problem.
Yours is not scared enough. I'm just joking, people.
Look, I thought he was.
No, sort of not really.
He's a little bit better now, though, because we have started doing some counseling and stuff like that. So, yeah. I'm learning how to talk to him and not at him. Because when I talk at him, he shuts down. I have to talk to him and we can have a conversation. If he's mad, I have to stop and say, I use big words like, what triggered that, Brooklyn?
See, that wouldn't work for me.
It doesn't work for a lot of people.
I don't care.
Yeah, it doesn't work for a whole...
And I know that sounds horrible, but you triggered. I'm triggered by your behavior.
Exactly.
I'm triggered that I got to come to this school. I'm triggered that you didn't wash a dish. I'm triggered. I'm going to show you triggered. And that's how I talk to my kids. And they knew, okay, let me fix this problem.
I've never physically disciplined my daughter.
I was going to ask that question. Who here has...
I've never physically disciplined her. But she was born premature. And there's just... Every time I just see that little fragile little girl. And she knows it.
Brooklyn was premature too. And that little motherfucker is crazy.
But that's a little boy. That's a little boy. Yes. Little girls are little...
Our boys are just as cute. You're a little girl. Okay. I didn't say they weren't cute. The little boy, it ain't the same when you're a little girl.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, it is.
I don't have both.
I tell this story to the kids because I work with kids. I'm at a middle school and the girls will cry. And I tell the girls, I am unfazed by tears, baby, because my daughter started crying on cue at the age of 2. She can come in this room and I can say cry and she'll bust out in tears. I'm unfazed by tears. It's the same when you have to discipline them. But disciplining her, she only needed it. I think I spanked her maybe up until maybe, not a lot, but I probably stopped spanking her when she was 6. Because with her, if she did something wrong, she's going to remember what she did and she's going to fix that problem. And she's not going to do it again. Kobe, he was probably getting beat up. Oops, let me check that.
He was being disciplined.
Kobe was being disciplined probably up until he was like, I don't know. I might catch him. I don't know. Last week. I don't know.
Oh, I mean, shit, I ain't got a chance.
Jordan
in hell.
Was disciplined, like, seriously, it seemed like almost every day.
Yeah.
And when he was about 7 or 8 years old, it was the last time I spanked him because I was like, this is doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It does nothing. Mm-hmm. And like shortly after then, we didn't have any. And it's usually problems with school. It wasn't really at home. He was a hyper-ass kid, which I would never allow to put on any drugs because his grades weren't suffering. I had to deal with it. Sorry, teachers. And then it calmed down after a while. Yeah. And he's a chill dude.
Fair. That was my stance with Kobe. Like, why is he under the table, ma'am? I think you might need to be. No, baby. I think you need to do some classroom management, get his little ass from underneath that table. He needs to be at a desk.
Yo, mom was throwing chairs.
Oh, no. No, ma'am.
And
no, ma'am.
In preschool.
No, ma'am.
He came home on red every day.
No.
Wow.
No, we just had issues.
No,
like,
you don't remember him when he was younger? They wouldn't necessarily, but He was he wasn't bad. He was into shit all the time. He was just constantly moving.
Max, what we had out of Kobe as far as stuff, he would do stuff at school, but there was no chair throwing. But he, in kindergarten, he poured juice on a little girl's head, and it was blue juice, and they suspended him. And me, I'm going over there. I'm tapping on the table, on the desk when I get there. Like, as soon as I get in, I need to see the principal. I need my son, and you go ahead and get them withdrawal papers. Get them up. By the time I come out of here, ma'am, I need to come sign them. And we out of here because he's going with me. The reason why he did it, he was doing a science project. The little girl's hair
was experiment.
The little girl's hair was blonde. His juice was blue. And he wanted to see if the little girl's hair would turn blue, too. Mm. So he dumped the juice on the little girl's head. Mm. It's a science project.
I mean, did he tell them before? Were they in cahoots together?
No.
They were at
lunch. Ma'am, they were at lunch.
Okay.
The girl was minding her own damn business.
Okay.
Have you ever had to discipline your children, Matt?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I was raised old school. I'm from the country, Crosby. So
we all got them hands. Got some hands, a belt or something. We all did.
Yeah. Mm. And my mom, she didn't play none of that. I had to be home for the lights on, street lights. Wasn't nothing for me. Just walk in. I didn't know what was happening. Wow. Just discipline like that. And so I was raised that way. And
that's just in case you thought about doing something.
Exactly. You know, I know your mind. I'm looking at you thinking about something. So when I was raising my kids
that
way.
You was bad, huh?
No, I wasn't bad. I was a kid and I always thought about it because I knew mom wasn't going to play that. So y'all going to go do what? I'll be right here. So I knew what was going to happen. But so I kind of raised my kids like that. Your friend, I'm not your friend. And that's just how it's going to be. I never really had to discipline or nothing. My voice was enough.
But again, I guess that goes back to the relationship with dad and girls. Like I'm sure a girl, because I never wanted to disappoint my grandfather. So I'm sure like if you raise your voice, maybe they would disappoint. Oh my God, I disappointed my dad.
Yeah, my daughter's like that with her father. When I have problems with her, all I got to say is, you know what? I'm going to call your dad. And she will literally start to shake.
But you know what I hate? Check this out. I am raising Brooklyn to the best of my abilities, Lord Jesus. A male can come in the room and say the exact same thing that I just said, and he snaps to it. And the next thing you know, now he's, what was it, Mr. Cleaver and all this. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Before, you were just telling me, huh?
Exactly.
What, mom? Where's my damn yes,
ma'am?
Does
he have any male teachers? Just curious.
Yes, he's got two.
Oh, okay.
I want to ask the listeners, what's the worst discipline that you ever had? Does your parents ever? I got somebody in the room who want to testify.
Kim, you got something to say?
Yeah. The worst, and I'm not going to say this, the worst whooping I ever got in life was, I was probably about 9 or 10. My grandmother from the country, they're from Navasota. We'd go pick berries and I was little. So they put me up in there and I picked the berries anyway for years. Dewberries. I don't know if y'all know what dewberries are, but she used to make a dewberry pie. It was a Sunday. She had made that dewberry pie and I only liked the crust of the pie and still do. So if it's a peach cobbler, I only want the peach and the juice. I have a friend. She made me a peach cobbler one day. It was a crust, juice and one peach. And it was a scavenger hunt to find a peach. Anyway, I ate all the crust off the top pie.
Ooh, you got
because
your ass
that's what
whooped.
I wanted. I heard my grandmother say, oh my God, she didn't. And my grandfather said, what did she do? Then my mom comes, go get the belt. It wasn't a belt. And we still have this thing to this day. It's a razor strap. Like with the barbers, they use a razor strap. Mm-hmm. We still have it, Big Red. And it's still hanging in my mom's closet.
Damn, your grandfather used that?
Big Red. We still have it. I used it on Callie and Kobe.
Discipline? Oh.
You got, okay. If you had I to get the, go get razors. The razor strap. If you had to get the razor strap, you knew it was going to be a real, nothing like the razor strap. And I got the beating of my life. And that crust.
And people who are, we are old enough to remember when they had corporal punishment in school.
Sure did.
My mama signed the letter, though. You're not going to whoop my child. I'll whoop my child.
My brother got his ass beat several times.
Okay. And then we then come home and get another beating. Think I'm lying.
I never did, though.
The worst, I don't remember. I got a lot of whoopings because I was that kind of kid. Try me. That's my middle name is Try Me. And so I remember this one time, this guy had came over to the house and my mom had bought the Hoover. Everything, every accessory to the Hoover. It was burgundy. And she was vacuuming some, and I did some. I don't even know what I did. She pulled out the cord of the vacuum cleaner, started beating me with it, and the vacuum cleaner was dragging behind her. I don't know what I did.
You let her chase you? You ran?
Exactly. You ran.
That's a death sentence.
I'm not going to stand for that.
You're not supposed to.
Second worst whooping I've ever had in my life. My grandmother was about to spank me, and I said she bought me a sapphire ring for my birthday because I was born on September 23rd. But anyway.
No shout out.
But I said to her, I turned around and I looked at her and I said, do you want me to pull my ring off? She said, why? I said, in case I bop you in your face. Ooh. To Ooh. This day, Sean will make fun of me about that ring.
How
and
old
that
are you?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know. And my mom said, what did she say? Because we live next door to my grandparents. That was the second worst whooping I've ever had. Because it was both of them.
Yeah, the worst one I had was my dad only whooped me one time in my whole life. My mom, I was used to it. I come in. It was always something. I did this. I did that.
You were bad.
I wasn't bad.
You
I
were just, normal.
I've done a little thing. Yeah. I went, several different things. And so I was getting used to it by the age of 13. All right, go here. This one time I come in, I can't remember what it was. I just got home from school. I was 13. And something happened. I don't know. Maybe dishes. I don't even know what it was. But my mama started whooping me. And of course, whatever she would get, she whooped me with anything. But it was a belt this time. And
this time.
So she whooping me. And about three swaps so in, I grabbed it. I'm like, I'm too big to be catching a whooping. Of course, my dad was in the next room. And I can hear him say, what do you say? So that's why I remember it so good.
Yeah, that definitely.
So did he come out and finish and continue?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Girl, I don't know if I had crossed my head.
Everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I was
caught it that day.
Disclaimer, yeah. I think the statute of limitation, we're old enough to where things are just different now. And
yeah,
I don't know. Discipline means different things to kids right now because they have so many access to so many things. Before, like, what would they take away from us to punish us? And I used to tell my mom, beat me. Don't take the TV away for a week. Just go ahead
and you know
away.
What? Michelle and I had that conversation because she said, if he knows he's in trouble, what you going to take away from him? I'm going to take away the Xbox. And she's like, and he knows it. Yeah. Or his phone. He's come in the house. I'll be like, Brooklyn, how was school today? He'll say, well, what did you hear? And I said, am I supposed to check emails today? He said, you don't have to. Here's my phone. Because he already knew. You know what I'm saying?
Give it right
so
over.
Give it right over. But like she was saying, though, you can't keep on doing it. Because see, Brooklyn puts his cell phone punishment. It'll be one of those things I say, okay, now stop. That's enough. You say one more word, that's going to be another week. You know what I'm saying? And he'll listen. If I say that five is a trigger, that little Negro do four.
My daughter,
I'm not right at five.
My daughter's exactly the same. Exactly the same. That's the reason why I remember I told you that my daughter doesn't work off a punishment. She works off a reward.
Yep.
She will take an L. Like I will. I'll take an L. I know I'm in trouble, but I'm going to take the L this time. She will do the same. So I cannot do punishment with her. I have to do reward. If you do this, I will reward you because she will take the punishment. She will literally weigh it out.
When did you figure that out? Because listen, we're different parents than ours. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you never spanked your child.
I did.
Probably more than I got spanked. When did you figure out reward worked better? I had heard that somewhere along the line over the years at that point.
You know, like,
older.
I was telling Mo this. It's like the definition of insanity. You do the same thing over and over expecting a different result. It wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously it don't work.
Yeah.
And so let me what else can I try?
Because you tried.
I have to try because she don't care.
But this is what I had to do with Brooklyn though. Check this out. I kept what Shell said in mind. So Brooklyn got in trouble. I said, you know what? You're gonna punish yourself. I said, I want you to go sit down and you write down what your punishment should be. And I said, now hopefully you're trying to be the young man that I want you to be and you will choose a good punishment for what you've done. I said, because this is right at spring break. So I said, well, you could take the easy way and enjoy your spring break. Or you could set up some stuff and give yourself a little punishment. He basically looked at me and said, I'll take spring break for 500, please, Alex.
And I looked at him and said, go get Big Bread.
So what has changed from being like how we grew up, the punishment we took and we learned. And nowadays, the kids is totally different. You have to reward them now.
Not reward in that way.
Well, yeah.
I'm saying that if you do this, you get something good from it, as opposed to if you don't do this, you get something bad. And it's just a different way of looking at it. Discipline, when I think about a child punishing themselves, and I think about how I was my worst enemy as a child, like I felt worse than my parents could ever make me feel about something I did bad. Mm.
And that's what I thought he was going to do. But no.
No, but because if you would, you wouldn't do it either. If my boss came to me and said, look, you know what I'm saying? We can give you a raise or we can 2 days off. You think I'm a fool? No, fool.
Run me my coin. I'm about to say, I need my money. That's not really a choice, 2 days off.
I'm just saying. That's human nature.
I think you just have to figure out what works best for your child. Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever did. I would be such a fantastic parent now because hindsight's 2020.
Right.
And I can look at the things that my son's going through with his kids. But again, you can't interject.
And you
gotta
know
wait for them to ask.
It's funny that y'all say that because right now I'm in a circumstance where my mom is in the household with me in Brooklyn. So sometimes she doesn't know where to curb her co-parenting. I never signed you up to be a co-parent.
But you guys don't have good boundaries anyway. your mother.
We have boundaries, but just not when it comes to the boy. But I think, just the best way to put it.
But I think grandparents are just, they're just grandparents.
I get it. But when, like, I say no, no.
It's a grandparent.
It's a grandparent. Say, like, I'm the grandparent. Like,
this is my job.
Let me tell you something. I don't have grandchildren, right? I have a grand dog. I have two. Raven and Sarge.
For now.
Callie.
Oh, I'm sorry, Callie.
I love you, Callie. At least I'll fight you behind Callie and Sarge. But Callie will say, don't feed him. He's big. He's pit bull. He probably weighs.
He's huge.
He's huge. So he's, I know he's, she'll always say, no, he's just 95 pounds. Girl, you're 95 pounds.
She's a lot.
Sarge got to be every bit of 300 pounds. But she'll say, he's on a diet. Don't feed him.
Okay.
And when he comes to my house, mom, he eats this time. He only eats this much. Don't feed him after a certain time. Da, da, da.
Okay.
Sarge is going to eat with it. When I eat, Sarge eats. You want a piece? You want a piece of chicken?
Let me just say.
Is it because you're scared?
Of Sarge? No. How dare she limit my grandbaby?
Okay.
How dare she?
I'm just surprised that in America, dogs are fat.
Well, he's a pit bull. He's just going to be big. He's just a healthy bully.
In America, poor people are fat.
That's a fact. Yeah.
You know, homeless people have excess weight. I don't. We're the only country in the world. That's a thing.
Sarge
is terrible.
He's just a good boy.
But I know that when I have grandchildren, it's going to be the same. Here, take this cookie. I know your mama said you can't have it, but you take that cookie and have fun.
But one thing I've noticed, though, even though the child acts that way around you when they're with others, they're respectful. Mm-hmm. Very much so. And so even though we feel a certain way, like they talk to us a certain way, my daughter would never dare do that outside to anyone.
Right.
Because my little cousin, she's not a little cousin, she's older, but she's got Brooklyn right now and they're going to some places and having fun. But the first weekend that she kept him for a whole weekend, she came back, she was like, cousin, you doing a damn thing. He's good.
That's
he's
the
respectful.
Best feeling ever.
Girl, yeah, it makes me all teary. I was like, oh, why'd I get that little shit act like that at home?
Yeah.
But I was really proud as a mom because I was like, she said they had went to the hotel for the birthday and he was the one that brought her back a waffle. She said, my damn son didn't even bring me back no damn waffle, but yours did. And he held the door open for me. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Children are tricksters.
Look, teaster.
So, kids these days, like how we were raised up, nowadays seem like they're more testy.
Mm-hmm. No. Like they have less patience. I wish they would.
You mean like testing the boundaries, testing the lines? Right. Okay, you're okay. Mm-hmm.
My authority. So is that because we're parents are trying to be more friendly?
Oh, that's a good question.
My daughter, we were going to go somewhere on Christmas Day. And so I was going to pick up someone and I needed her to get ready so I could pick those other people up so we can be at the other place we need to be. So I go and I said, babe, you got 20 minutes. She has a problem with time management and priorities. About 20 minutes later, she's not ready. Babe, you ain't even close. No, I'm still getting. I said, baby, you got 10 minutes. 10 minutes? Why are we in a hurry? I said, baby, we need to go because we got to pick up these people, whatever. And she said, we'll pick them up when we get there. I said, no, we need to be respectful of their time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I said, if you don't hurry up, I'll leave you. And she said, no, you're not. Guess what?
Yeah, she got that.
She got left Christmas. And when you and your parents say it hurts me more than it hurts you,
it didn't hurt.
It really hurt to leave her Christmas Day by herself at the house when I went to a party at the family house. Christmas Day. I show up. Where's Sarah? Sarah couldn't come.
She wasn't prioritizing this morning.
I'm just saying. You can't tell me what I'm not going.
I think like what you were just asking, like what I think what has changed with children and parents is society. The gentle parenting, the social media, all of that. I don't spank my child. I was spanked and it traumatized me. No, maybe I won't say it didn't, but I want to raise my child differently. There are ways to raise your child differently. And still, kids need a healthy dose of fear, period. I don't care if you spank them. I don't care. They need a healthy dose of fear.
That's what's missing.
I see it daily. Mm-hmm. And I love the kids that I work with. I love every last one of them I love them all. I don't care much for 12-year-old boys, but I love them all. I have mentioned that. It's a problem when they get to 12, but I love them all, but I see it daily.
They don't fear God. They don't fear consequences. They don't fear repercussions. They don't fear embarrassment.
No.
They don't fear shame. They
now,
fear
I
nothing.
Now, I will say that, not to interrupt you, now that shaming him embarrassing in him, baby, because he'll be like, if I raise my voice and we're out somewhere and I raise my voice, he's like, can we talk about it when we get home? I said, no, we can't. And all these people need to hear me say it again.
And my child would clown me in the store. My mama over here trying to embarrass me. And the other parents, that's your mother.
Oh, I'm the one. I will tell them in the store. Good. Good for your mama. Good. Because again, they just don't have a healthy dose of fear. And I've said this too before. I've said this a few years ago. Like, I just don't feel that the generation, it's a generation that doesn't care for their parents and vice versa. And it's because I think the parents are younger. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I don't want anyone to think that.
Younger than what? Us?
Yeah, younger than us. Like this generation, I think that
they're having babies younger than we did.
And so they're having
they're young also parents. Not having kids, period, until like they're
well, I know, no, but I'm saying the ones that are already here. Their parents are young. So they're young. And but I just feel and I've been saying it for a few years now. I think that this is the generation that just doesn't care for their parents and their parents just don't care for them. Because you
I guess
they
you have, see it more.
They have their minds focused on something else outside of their child, or their child has their mind focused on something other than their parent. We did a lot of family nights and we worked together a lot, a lot. And so I think once my kids got older, it was hard for me not to take them to the gym because they're gone. I don't have anybody to run around because we were always together. And I know you do a date night mode with your son every Friday. Don't think that parents do that bonding anymore with their kids.
We don't even eat at the same table anymore. We used to eat every night at the same table.
I didn't in my household.
Or the Caribbeans. I don't know. Well, what y'all was doing? What about you were doing, man?
Food was ready. Fix your plate.
That's no, my mom fixed my plate. Let's not forget. Annie used to bring me my plate in my room.
I used to do that too. I used to fix the kids' plates. Yeah.
We couldn't eat in our room.
I know. Even saying that's a Caribbean thing, I'm just saying the culture of my house, few and far between, I remember.
I couldn't eat in the room. I couldn't go out.
Holidays for sure.
When you get up, you get dressed. Walk around here with no robe on.
You better not do that.
Come to my house. Annie was in her robe at 2 o'clock.
Again, Caribbean.
But now I understand because I'm like, man, please, if I get home, soon as I get home, baby, I'm putting on a robe. I'm putting on a muumuu. But we don't do those things anymore. We don't sit at the table. We don't just hang out outside and just have a good time with one another and bond with our kids. We just don't do that anymore. I don't want to knock anybody's parenting if that works, whatever works for you. But then we get questions like you just had, Mac, like what's changed? Society. Society has changed, unfortunately.
And I think mine, as I was raising them and trying to show them things, of course, they learned a lot in high school, seeing their other friends, how other households are raised. But I think they didn't really recognize that what I was trying to teach them and show them how to raise them until when they got to college. And then they had these roommates that was totally different. I don't think they got no home training. You know?
But you remember that one time you go over that person's house and it ain't like your house and you want to go home?
I had that too. When Brooklyn, he told me, he said, Mama, I saw Corey get a whoop. He said, you ain't that bad. Told you. Some kids get it worse.
Yeah. No, I was automatically coming to your house. So I was automatically on guard coming.
My mama didn't play. She was fair though.
Your mama's always nice.
Very nice.
I just had more than a healthy dose of fear of her.
Yeah, yeah. And I still,
and she
my mama
gone.
Made her transition in 2019. I still fear it. Like my mom, I told you, my mom said nothing good happened at 2 a.m. I don't care where I have been.
You could have been at church. Didn't matter.
I've been many places. I used to work as a singer at night. 2 o'clock. I got to go.
You in the house.
Sure. I'm gone. My mama say, ain't nobody won the lottery or cured cancer in the middle.
In the morning.
Nobody.
Right, sure. I had a good time after 2.
I didn't stay there to even look. I was gone.
There was an after
party. Don't look at me.
There was an after party.
Don't look at me.
Things going on. Houston was not back in the 90s.
Back in the 90s, coming down 45.
That's
y'all
right.
Ready?
Again.
Y'all ready? Let's
go. Who got the boons for?
Okay. Y'all see.
Y'all got a 40. You're picking up a 40 first?
And a 40 and a straw.
I'm going to have a straw. Have y'all seen, and I know this is completely off topic.
Yes.
Listeners, I know y'all hate when we go off topic, but again, this is a genuine friendship. We're friends.
This is how we talk.
So I'm sorry. Keep up with this. We'll get back to where we were. But have y'all seen these TikTokers that are now drinking MD 2020?
Mad Dog.
We need to see what this is all about. It is about a bad decision. That is what it's about, babe.
No. I mean, the first
Cisco
time I
was like, a bad decision.
Yes.
I was like, no, Mad Dog's worse. I just doing this now. They are crazy.
The worst hangover. Ooh. And I, after this, I swear, I trained my brain never to vomit again. The worst hangover I ever had was after drinking some MD 2020 at Sam Houston State. Ooh. I threw up and it's
still,
yes, it still smelled like Mad Dog 2020. I have after that, my mind, if I'm vomiting, if I'm throwing up,
vomiting.
Please, vomiting.
That's how much it threw me off.
If I am vomiting, it's because I'm truly sick. That MD, oh my God. And got so one people better, are willingly y'all. Doing that, huh?
Trash can punch from Sam Houston State, Everclear and that damn Borden's fruit punch. I can never smell it and I can't look at it no
more. Well, that's like me and orange juice. I don't care for orange juice because I can smell gin.
I gave
exactly.
you that.
We drink a lot of that.
Y'all been traumatized. Thing. And y'all still, if that happens and you still drink, I don't understand.
And E&J.
Have you some Prosecco?
Erkinger.
If somebody says they have E&J, oh, you want some E&J? Go get Big Red at my mama's car. I'm going to beat the hell out of you. Oh my God. Make me want to throw up now. But yes, they're drinking MD 2020 just because they think it's
disgusting. You know,
it is gross.
What
it is.
They want to see, but they want to see what it's about.
Here's the thing. Like, we're talking about it like we only did it one time.
We did it often.
You drank it more than once.
Because it was
on
cheap.
Several occasions.
It was super cheap.
Yeah, we should have known that we could have gotten stock back then.
Yeah, but see, I wasn't a drinker. And which is interesting because my parents were very liberal when it comes to that. They were smoking and they drank, you know,
cigarettes,
whatever was available. You know what I'm saying? But that's for grown folks. You need to get out the room.
I think everybody, I just didn't know what it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there was a green lockbox in the parents' bath.
Yeah. It was good.
Well, the story I have right now, I want to tell it, but I don't want my brother to be like, why would you tell that story? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to keep my mouth.
No, I couldn't. No.
But see, that goes to. Your parents weren't your friends.
She said it was in her parents' bathroom lockbox. I didn't know what my parents' bathroom looked like.
What was in a lockbox in a closet under the bed?
Wasn't even under the door.
I had a brother who liked to pick all the locks. The locks on the back of the TV so you can watch the Playboy Channel.
What? I
remember that back in the day. Break into the parent. No, because we were all latchkey kids. We came home to, their door was always locked, but... Hello, Sean McFarlane.
And please understand, Elise has a brother named Sean, and I have a brother named Sean. So
the same way, which is unusual.
Yeah, spelled the same way, yeah. Mm-hmm. So don't get confused. My brother was not picking locks. He didn't. No, he wasn't picking. Because we had a healthy dose of fear of my mama and Big Red.
Sure. Yeah, there's some kids who like to, he was testing boundaries since he was, before I was born. He was always testing the boundary.
Mm, my mama didn't play.
He was one of those kids that had they had a leash for him when he was young.
Sure.
Oh my God. It was only for one kid.
Yeah, you know what?
He needed it, huh?
Apparently not.
Yeah.
My mom had came to us and said, if you want to experiment with alcohol, I'll buy you a whole case of beer and let's do it right here. And I'm like, you know what? No. No, thank you.
Was it the Vanessa episode of Cosby?
Yes.
I didn't see it. No, this is before Cosby. This is before then.
Come on, Vanessa.
Come on.
Big fun. Do it with your friends. Come on.
Yeah, that was way before then. Way before then.
How could it be? That was like 1980.
Yeah, no, we started early because, you know, my mama with the hot pants in the 70s.
In the 80s. Better.
But my mom had me at 20. And she said we grew up together. Like I said, only one of us
grew
up.
That was regular age back then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know,
Mama, we didn't. And we had a whole big wet bar. Like we had a huge bar because even though my grandparents ran the church, we still had people. My grandfather was a big domino player. And so it was people, they played cards, they played dominoes. And so they had a huge bar. They didn't really drink, but the people that came. So we never snuck drinks. Let me take that back. I never snuck drinks. And it was a huge bar. We never, ever, I didn't. Sean may have, but I knew better. I was afraid because I knew they was going to get that.
Yeah, and my brother has a full bar at his house. He doesn't drink at all.
Yeah, because people.
And neither one of us drink, which is interesting. Neither my brother nor I drink or smoke. And our parents were very liberal. Very liberal. I know why. I think I told the story. There's a reason why I don't drink and there's a reason why I don't smoke. Mm. And the reason why I don't do drugs is because of Lynn Bias.
the 1984 mm-hmm, first draft pick. Mm-hmm. Cocaine, his heart exploded. Mm-hmm. And you didn't have to tell me nothing else after that. I was probably 13 at the time. I'm good. And then I had a cousin, my cousin Lisa, who came home in the middle of the night. I was at my aunt's house and she was not well. And I didn't know what was wrong with her. She could barely walk. I thought she was very ill. And her eyes were closed and she was talking to herself and she said she needed to go to the bathroom. She was talking to invisible people. She was talking about her boyfriend who was actually there, but she couldn't see he was there. And mm-mm. then she peed on herself. Mm. And then they made us leave the room. And I thought she's sick. My cousin, she's not well. And the next morning I asked what happened and they said she was drunk. That's she's what alcohol does.
Just a little drunk.
No, little drunk.
Oh, so you were like traumatized.
Yeah, I'm peeing on myself?
But
so,
equals pee on yourself?
But you saw your mother, your parents.
Yes, drink. but
liberally.
That, yeah, but you never saw your mother.
No, my mom drunk, in front drunk, of me. Yeah, no, drunk. Mom, yeah. I never seen them drink. I wasn't supposed to be in the room. I wasn't in the room.
Oh, okay. Right.
Hear me.
Right. See, I've never
you
seen
know what's
I've
happened. Never. I knew about it. You only know really, you don't really know. Because remember, right. you're thinking about other stuff. Mm-hmm. Right. You don't understand that really what it is. But my cousin, I understood it was something. I don't even know if it was beer or whatever it is, because beer seemed light, but maybe this was something else. And I just thought, I don't want to ever pee on myself.
I'm pretty sure I never peed on myself.
Well, as much as I could hold shit because okay. I made it to the bathroom.
Okay, what about drunken? Drunken
I don't think I've had a drunken pee-pee.
I never have. I know I have never.
Yeah,
because
I don't think I've had a drunken.
Yeah,
I had a,
I've blacked seen out. It though.
Have you blacked out?
Yeah, yeah. I
but,
have. Definitely.
But I'm going to say this. I never peed on myself drunk because I had an uncle. He liked to drink. And I also had an uncle who owned a bar, a nightclub. And so, you know,
yeah,
they would go.
Yeah, the church and then the bar.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So they, but my uncle.
Balance.
But again, my family, you know, they're from the country. Everybody's going to be in San Antonio. Everybody's going to be in Houston. You're going to be wherever. So my uncle came in and he had been drinking and he passed out in a chair. My mother and my cousin painted his fingernails and put makeup on him.
That's good, clean fun.
He didn't pee on himself, but what they did was they poured water on him. So when he woke up, he thought he had peed on himself and they were like, he wasn't worried about the makeup. He wasn't worried about the fingernails. He was worried about the fact that he had peed on himself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I've never peed on myself, but he was worried about that. And they were like, I don't know. You came in looking like that. Yeah. Not worried.
We can go back to the regular schedule program.
We are so off topic. Is my child my friend? I am confident that we have a lot of friendly chat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, my child is not my friend. And we'll
I
never
go to the yogurt store last night, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to call for the dumbest things.
But that's not being a friend. That to me is more like,
no,
I need my mom's advice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I need
mom
advice.
Yeah. That wasn't one of them.
But remember the first time you had to make your own doctor's appointment?
Yeah. I'm still trying to get my oldest to make a dentist appointment.
Yeah, I mean,
listen.
You know, 28. Yeah, it's the kind of thing nobody ever tells you.
Yeah,
if you've never known, like, there are certain things you don't know. You just don't know.
Yeah,
yeah.
How do you file taxes? How do you learn how to file taxes?
I saw a TikTok. He was talking about how he was stopped and asking for his insurance card, and he pulled out his Cigna or. Because he didn't know. He was like, nobody explained to him. But you know what? I remember having that conversation with my oldest back in the day. He knows now. He was like maybe 19 at the time. I was like, no, son. These are different.
Sure.
But if you don't know, you don't know. And it's one of those things. I think I've told you before. My oldest, his senior year in high school, I would cry all the time.
I remember you talked about that.
At that point, like,
I missed so much. I didn't teach him this. I didn't teach him
I was
him
a single
that.
Mom. Like, the father was in their lives. But I was thinking about all the things that he did not know.
And
like what
works.
Yeah. And you just don't remember everything. And you're like, oh, my God, I haven't told him this. I haven't told him that. And you know how they. But you know what? They can figure it out. We
yeah,
did.
They learned stuff from school.
My parents probably told us less than our kids know.
Right. Because yeah, your girls, I'm sorry. Your girls have figured it out. They're in a whole other state. A state with huge rats.
Yeah. And that was one thing I was thinking about, too, asking the question on. Parents that taught us stuff that stuck with us. Mm-hmm. Are we teaching our kids enough for them to stick with them? My mom was big on, you ain't missing no school.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect attendance, 12 years, mm-hmm. college.
Oh, you got that certificate?
Oh, yeah.
Perfect attendance?
Yeah, I had my appendix busted in school. My mom made me get up every morning, go to school. She knew I can get out at noon and still be attended and accounted for.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. And so I wake up in the morning, feel good. This lasted for 3 days. I got up in the morning. I said, all right, get ready to go to school. I pick you up at noon, and of course, around noon or so, it would start hurting. And so, like, on the third day, my track coach was like, dude, you done missed practice. What's going on and stuff? And
oh, y'all didn't even tell the school what happened? Oh, they probably wouldn't let you come.
But he didn't know what was going on. Right, he just had pain.
Right. And so it was off and on a couple of days. And so by the third day, the coach was like, hey, take the boy to the doctor, see what's going on. Of course, we go to the local doctor and everything. He runs some tests on me. Then he's like, hey, you need to go to the hospital right now. And of course, on the way, my appendix bust.
Oh.
Stayed
oh,
in
wow.
Yeah.
The same day?
Yeah. Stayed in the hospital for a week. My mom went to school, got my work, brought it to me. I did it in the hospital. She brought it back for a week. And of course, at the end of the school year, they didn't want to give it to me, my perfect attendance. Of course, she fought for it. And of course, they gave it to me.
Yeah, because you would have been there.
Wow.
Yeah. You wouldn't have been there.
That was important. Yeah. Why was that so important to her? Just curious.
She was like, hey, that's one thing you can do. I don't know if you can't do the work or whatever. You will show up. They was big on that.
No,
that,
but showing up is half the battle.
It is.
I swear to you, it is.
It is.
The battle.
And so that's something that stuck with me this day. So I'm 13 years on the job and only missed 2 days.
Wow. Oh, God. That is commendable.
Yeah. So I don't know.
That's scary.
Drilled into.
I'm sorry. Does your
it was
sick time
into you.
Yeah.
Does your sick time accumulate?
Oh, damn. Oh, then that's why it don't matter. Okay.
No, but that's commendable for sure.
No, it is.
I just wanted to say that there was a thing that was said that when your child is small, you are their manager. And that when they become adults, you are their consultant.
Ah.
Yeah. And I had to tell my daughter, I said, now I'm going to have to manage you. I'm going to have to tell you when to come in, when to do this, check your thing. Because before I was a consultant, she would come to me if she needed to consult on something, but I had to turn back into her manager because she's not ready.
Ah.
She's not ready.
Well, how are you getting her ready then? And she's managing everything.
Right now we need to, it's like habit. You need to get her into the habit. It's almost like a coach. I'm coaching her.
But you say you're managing her.
Just like a coach would do. A coach would tell you, get up at this time, do this. And eventually, then she can consult to me when she needs to. But right now, she's not ready. So I'm going from a manager to a coach.
So you're making sure she gets up in the morning to go to work or whatever she's doing.
No, she always gets up in the morning. She has a hard time focusing and prioritizing her day. When she was working, it was better, actually, because she had a limited amount of time.
She had a routine and she had a schedule.
Yes. And so that's what she's missing.
She's missing that schedule. So time management. So maybe that's what you need to work on. Because again, with the whole failing that Kobe failed, we never bothered with time management with him. He wastes so much time. So maybe that's what it is, time management.
Yeah. And it's a problem because at her age, I was already in a foreign country where I didn't know the language and didn't know anybody and was able to take care of myself without doing anything unscrupulous.
You're a different creature, though.
Right.
No, we're cut from the same cloth, I assure
you. Yeah, but
you're
different. But Shell, just step back for a second. Do you think it's time management or is it prioritization? A lot of adults have problems with that, too.
I have a serious problem with procrastination. And I don't call it, it's not procrastination, it's prioritizing things.
Yeah.
And understanding what's important and why to do it.
But isn't it the same as time management?
No.
Time management is a part of it, but it's not the same thing.
Because I told my daughter, there's a difference between something that's important and that's a priority. It's important that you're happy, but it's a priority right now that you do your homework. So there's a difference between priority and importance.
Okay.
And so she has a hard time doing that, and I have a hard time doing that, which is the worst thing that happens. When you see your own faults, your child.
Oh, man.
And you know, you're like, oh, God, I have it. And I'm trying my best to say, Sarah, you need to do this because I've been there. But she don't hear you. I didn't hear my mom.
That's right. I apologize to my mom all the time. I'm like, I'm sorry, Annie. I am sorry.
But again, that goes along with that failing part of it. You see what you did. I don't want to say wrong, but where you could have done something a little bit better. And I failed at this. Now I don't want you to fail at it. Mm-hmm. Or I messed up at this. I don't want you to do the same. But then at the same time, like you said, Elise, we have to let them
fail.
Do that. Yeah, we have to let them fail.
Yeah. And because I...
And suffer the consequences for it.
Because
they have to suffer the consequences. They'll never learn.
Yeah,
took my niece one time, let somebody drive her car, wrecked it. She will never let somebody drive her car ever again.
When they were growing up, I'm the one... Oh,
even though my sister paid for that.
If it's not going, okay, hold on. Give me 5 minutes. Let me think. I'm going to fix it. I'm the fixer. I'm going to fix it. Don't worry. And so I guess, and she's right. Like I never wanted to see them fail, either one of them, because I'm going to fix the problem. Whatever it is, give me 5 seconds. Let me fix it.
I wouldn't say failure, because failure is a different term.
While we're on the
topic. Like, we're Momfidants, but we do have a guest with us, Mr. Mac Frank. So we're just curious, are you a daffodent? I don't know. What would you call that?
That's exactly what I was going to ask y'all. Is there such a thing as a daffodent? I think so, since listening to y'all.
Because you're a girl dad.
That's right. And on this topic, this is kind of like my whole life thing with girls, as always, your kids, teaching them right and wrong. So all that y'all talking about right now is like perfect for what I do. Because, okay, so the other half of me is like, it's okay, let's do this, let's do that. And they know I always stand on business. And it was always... And so, and at this point in life, as they've grown, now I would go to my dad with my secret questions or something that I don't want to say.
Good questions?
I call it secret questions, but just knowing that I need to go to my dad about this, I can't go to my mom about it. Mm-hmm. Because they know I'm going to be the one to be, okay, this is what you need to do.
You're going to shoot them straight.
And I'm glad I'm like that, because it's like good cop, bad cop type of thing. But they know the bad cop is going to take care of it, whatever it is. Just an example, like Paige, when she was in Sam Houston, she had a boyfriend at A&M on that road all the time. I'm like, Paige, don't stay in sometimes. You ain't got to go every weekend.
And he needs to come to her.
Exactly.
Because when you're that age.
Yes. And so, of course, she had an accident. She called me. And first thing you want to do is pray. What I tell you? You know what I'm saying? Kept my cool about it. Like, okay, you're all right. Everybody else all right. And it went good. And it set a whole example for her to me that the way I handled it, instead of just jumping on her butt about it, we took care of business. And so she was like, okay, well, Dad, at that moment, she realized, okay, Dad is the one to go to. So let me take care of him. And now I didn't get older in life and everything. Well, they're 24 now, living in New York. And I feel good about it because they always do that. Anything, I'm like, hey, no matter how small, whatever the problem is, tell me about it so I can tell you how to fix it and stuff. So good topic. I love it, and I'm proud of them now, how they've done. And you have to be that. And she'll say it's different things for us, not being over-aggressive with it, but letting them understand it's business and prioritizing things. Big on that. Never been lazy, so now, and I don't stand for it, and they know that, and it's perfect for it. I like that.
It's a different relationship that a son has with a mother than a daughter has with her
father.
Why
are you looking at me?
It's a fact. Because
that is,
I have
is
a great
true.
Relationship with my children.
I know, because you have boys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I had, I was really close to my father. I was really close to my dad, way closer than I was to my mom, because my mom and I were like oil and water.
Exactly.
The cut from the same, oh my gosh. Older I get, the more I realize I am more like my mama, Willie Jewel, every single day. Every single day. Then those things that I would never, and here I am.
But don't use that to assume that your daughter is just like you. Yes, she has some attributes that are just like you. But she's her own person, too.
Yeah. I know. I realized that. Yeah. I remember when I was pregnant and I go, great. I bought all these books. I'm all in the books. I'm going to do all this stuff and I'm going to teach her how to do all this. And then she came and I realized they are pre-programmed. You can't. They're not blank slates at all.
Nope.
At all. They're already pre-programmed and you got to deal with what you got to deal with.
And see, I got a young one. So the way I have to deal with stuff with the boy, and then I look at him sometimes, oh, God damn this.
Let's remind the audience that she had a child at 40.
Wow. You didn't have to bring that up.
You did. But already. I get triggered every time.
That's the what do you mean? She's pregnant.
Our kids are grown.
At
40.
Yeah.
She's pregnant?
Yeah, like in real life. Too much Patron, popcorn, and bam, got a baby.
We have come to the conclusion, the end of another great conversation.
I agree.
We certainly thank you, listener, for joining us, for being a part of our confidential conversation. We ask that you like, share, and subscribe all platforms. We want to thank our guests. Let me know, sir, thank you very much for joining us.
Yay,
thank friend. You. Very happy to see you. It's been a long time.
Too long.
Yeah, we're going to have to do it again. Yeah. So we, again, thank you, listener. Are you your child's friend? Are you child's little friend? Are you your child's little friend? Let us know in the comments. Again, like, share, and subscribe. We have come to the end of our conversation. We certainly thank you for joining us, and we hope to see you again. Always remember that the journey of friendship is built on the path of loyalty, acceptance, and grace.